Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Welcome back. We continue. We're 2 hours away from the introduction of the new basketball coach at Ole Miss, Chris Beard. We'll have that for you later on. Right now, let's get back to the calls. And Larry is up next.
Let's get ready to rumble. Oh, my God. You and Jim getting it on, ain't you, bro?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm battling some issues, Paul. It's pretty rough, but I get through it. It's just tough. I can't hardly be no competition, nobody. But I'll be here, brother. I love it, man. I thought our man would probably do better. I mean, when he's hitting that good stuff, man, he can go places, Star Trek, and Captain Kirk ain't never been, you know?
Well, you know, he's still hung up on going over the triple record set from Woodstock, Larry. I mean, that was, what, 1968 or 9? I don't even remember. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. That's back in my time, baby. I rolled that with that.
By the time I got to Woodstock, 1969, yeah.
Yeah, man, that was when I just hadn't been back long down Key West. But I'm going to tell you something. I noticed I was ahead of our man. So I guess I'm a real good man. Well, listen, man, I ain't no competition. You guys battle it out, man. I love all the callers. I mean, I really do, except for Legend. He stole my woo, you know. Maybe he ought to try something else outside the woo. Sound like a dying cow. Woo. But anyway, I love y'all, man. Hey, roll tide, Jack.
Hey, thank you, Larry. You take care of yourself. Dana's up next in Tennessee. Hello, Dana.
How's it going, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I like a comment and a question.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, you hold 4 hours a day. You hold people watching you every day. And it really is. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen on television, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if Jim done that, I think we would have another Jonestown.
Yeah, it's... It's sad to think that
yeah.
Jim, I mean, listen, we've tried to help Jim as much as we can here. We remember a couple weeks ago he was sick and the entire community came together. Now he's apparently well again and he still sounds sick.
Yeah. Well, you know, God bless everybody as far as that goes, Jim. He just needs to, like I said, and by the way, I want to say this too. You're the smartest man I've ever talked to.
Well, thank you.
You really are. And the comment is about the Lady Vols. I think they'll make some noise. I was tickled to see that they made the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they were on a really good run early on. And then they trailed off a little bit. But I think you're right. I really like Kelly Harper, and I think she's brought
– Yes.
She seems like she's brought the feeling back and the meaning of what Lady Vols are all about. Well, listen, Dana, thank you so much for your kind comments. You take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very, very much. John is up next. Hello, John.
Paul, appreciate you having me on the show. I was watching the show and thought John and Florida made the bracket. I don't know if you're talking about me, but I'll tell you what, Paul, I'll take the credit for it. I got to say, making the Paul Feinbaum bracket's the highest athletic achievement I've achieved in my life, Paul. So... Thank you so much.
Well, John, we are so glad that you made it, and all the very, very best once the competition begins. Boone is up next in St. Louis. So hello, Boone.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about Mizzou basketball as they look to take on Utah State here in a couple of days. Do you think that they could make some noise in the tournament, win a couple games? I think they're a very talented team. I think they should have got a higher seed, but I just wanted your thoughts on maybe if they can make some noise here come this weekend.
Well, here's the problem with Mizzou. Their second round game will be against Arizona, assuming they get past. I don't think you could have found a more difficult second round game on that side of the bracket. So that's my concern. Arizona is a potentially Final Four team. So I think that's really the issue. Ultimately, they'd have to get by Alabama, but that would be late right. in the region. But right. but I think Arizona is the key game.
Right. Well, I would agree. And my thought is, you know, if you get past the second round, then, you know, you look at until you get to Alabama, and if someone can knock out Alabama, then, hey, you got to sit. You're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but here's
you
the
know,
problem.
The
here's
shot,
the problem,
but,
Boone. I don't. I think Alabama, I mean, we've seen it before. Virginia lost a couple of years ago in the first round. But the odds of Alabama losing until the Sweets, probably until the Elite Eight, are very, very thin. Thank you for the call. You take care of yourself. Let's check out Sam in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Sam.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
So I am sitting here. I know we don't talk about Vanderbilt very often, but I'm sitting here wondering – thinking that Vanderbilt is the biggest snub of the tournament. I mean, they finished the season winning 10 of 12, finished 11 of 17 in the SEC, beat Tennessee at home. And then I look around the tournament and I see the Big Ten get eight teams in, Nevada getting in out of the Mountain West after losing three in a row. I just don't see how you don't put Vanderbilt in.
I totally agree with you. And I know what the experts have said. Their net wasn't great. Their front part of the season wasn't great. But to me, you have to heavily weigh the last thing you saw. And the last thing we saw was Vanderbilt playing incredible at the end. That's a predictor of what you're going to do in the tournament, not what you did in November and December. I understand the complete body of work and all that. You go out and you play tough games and they help you later on. But to me, when you're that good at the end of the season, you deserve a spot. I mean, I think at the worst, Vanderbilt should have been playing tonight or tomorrow night in Dayton. Hey, thank you very, very much. Great to have you on. Appreciate it. Dale is in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Dale, we're doing great. Thank you.
So I was just wondering, when is the pay-per-view event with you versus Jim? Because I really would pay for that.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I challenged Jim to see who could throw the best curveball or fastball. I've never pitched in my life. I mean, I played softball. But I thought, considering how good he was, he would take me up on the challenge. But he said I'm too old and decrepit to take on. He's probably right.
Yeah, I want to see you both out there in the boxing gloves and, you know, little silky shorts, bouncing around in the ring.
I'm not a violent person, Dale, and I'm not an elite athlete. But I will challenge Jim to any athletic endeavor. I've made that. I'll meet him any place, any time. I'm not afraid of the guy. And you know why I'm not afraid? Because I know Jim is afraid. So
sounds like it. Hey, yeah, I just got one more comment. So I think all the Alabama fans owe Georgia, like, you know, I thank you know for finally turning them into a basketball school.
Well, I tell you what, I never dreamed I would. By the way, I covered Alabama basketball when they were better than the football program, but in the Nick Saban era. I never thought I would see Alabama's basketball better than the football program. Augie is up next.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to call and thank you again for everything. My mother-in-law did pass away, and we're having the funeral services. But I just want you to know that the time you spent asking her name, although she might not have been completely aware, my wife was, and it really meant a lot to her. And it also meant a lot from the messages I got from a lot of the people that listen to the show, especially Jim. You know, Jim's a very spiritual man, and he sent a lot of prayers and wishes our way, and it was much, much appreciated. Larry in Missouri, he wrote and said some nice things. Miss Pat, I-Man. I mean, I'm leaving out tons of people, and I'm sorry about that, but that's what your show has done. And, you know, I'm not going to say something that may sound disparaging, but, you know, I do appreciate everything that that these folks have said. And, you know, it's not like I just listen to the show all day and it's all I got. It means a lot to me that there are people out there that take the time to really feel empathy and sorrow for others. And I've not seen that in any other shows. And you, as a host, have perfected that. And I think it's really sincere. I don't think you're doing it just for ratings or to be nice. I think it's really sincere. And I'm a very, very skeptical and cynical person. But I absolutely believe that that is who you are. And I want to thank you for all of that. And I'm sorry to kind of bring it down today, but it really means a lot.
Audie, so when is the service?
Tonight and okay. Tomorrow. So again, Paul, thank you for everything that you and the people out there, the listeners, have done. I want to get back to name calling and all the other stupid stuff we do in the show, but you know, when it really comes down to it, I believe that if I needed a kidney and one of the people out there who hates me was a match, I just have to believe they would step up to the plate, as I would. That's just what your show has done. I think it brings out the humanity in an otherwise almost inhumane time. And it's all because of you and your listeners. And again, for all the folks who talk about Jim, I just want to tell you that I'll never say a bad thing about Jim ever. He really was a comfort, and he was very sincere. I know that, as everybody else. So thank you, Paul, and thank you for giving me the time to express this.
Augie, thanks. Thank you. We'll all be thinking of you and your family later on and tomorrow. You be well. You take care of yourself, and our deepest condolences. So we'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. We're really looking forward to our next guest because rarely do we get a chance to talk to someone who has had such a distinguished career. Dr. Eric Barron has been the president at both Florida State and Penn State. He's a former CFP board member, now a member of the Knight Commission. And he's been very outspoken in recent times about a number of issues, including the future of college football. Dr. Barron, thank you very much. What a pleasure to have you on. We appreciate it, and we hope you're having a great day.
My pleasure. I am.
Thank you so much. Let's get right to it. I read your piece the other day. I've heard some of the conversations that you've had. And before we get too deep into the weeds, just your overall thoughts on where we are right now. You've been the president of two major football powers, major universities in this country, and two of the largest states. Help us understand your perspective on today and the future of college athletics.
Well, I enjoy football. I enjoy college athletics, and I want to make sure that it succeeds. I think we're in a situation where we're going the wrong direction. Coaches' salaries are going up twice as fast as the support for students. Huge buyouts, dead money that is there. We have the NCAA that is responsible for operational costs, insurance costs, legal costs for college football, but doesn't get any of the revenue. So we have an opportunity. Actually, I think it's a tremendous challenge to change course, but we have a tremendous opportunity because we're about to have a significant infusion of money with the college football playoff new format.
Dr. Barron, I you said something that really grabbed my attention because this program, as you know, is on the SEC network, and I can give you a couple of different schools that have paid out anywhere from $15 to $30 million in what's now called dead money, money to former coaches literally to go away. I'm fascinated by what you said because I agree with you, but I also don't know how this can be legislated. Can you enlighten us?
So I think, you know, my experience from running two universities and other jobs is that it's a challenge if everything is incremental. It's a challenge if you're looking at the same pot of money or it's increasing slightly and you try to do new things. It's also a challenge for individual presidents to stand on their own against what is a very strong interest among alumni and boards and universities to be competitive. But if you inject $1 billion of new money into the system, I think you can come together as presidents and decide to do good things with it before the money comes in. It's so much easier to do things, to create new rules and goals if you have a significant infusion. So this is the opportunity to look at funding student mental health, equity in sports with female, promoting diversity with in terms of the football and other sports ranks for salaries and for positions. This is an opportunity to find the support we need for the sports that are not revenue generating but are incredibly important to the athlete, their well-being, and their future success. So I think this is a matter of the presidents coming together and say, we're going to see a new $1 billion coming in. It's time to say that always the money we spend on the students should exceed the money we spend on coaches and facilities.
Dr. Barron, I do not want to hold you accountable for something that you are not accountable for, but what I'm about to say, you can say a lot better, but you took over the presidency of a university at Penn State where a couple of presidents before you tried to fire the football coach and was unsuccessful because of his power. And you understand that, having been there. You understand, having gone to school where you did in Florida. And I know I'm just throwing some things up in the air and hoping that you can make sense out of them. But I think you have to be concerned from our position about the power of the presidency at schools where too often football supersedes everything else.
Yeah, I think it's no doubt that many times conferences and presidents say, this is what we've got to do, it's the right thing to do, and then the pushback is strong enough that it follows along the lines of what you just said. However, we know that the press and public opinions about college sports is changing dramatically as these buyouts get to be excessive and appear to actually put some significant stress on a university, or that the salaries are going up at such an incredibly fast rate, twice as fast as the support for students. And you see a lot of efforts, both courts and otherwise, to alter that system, to force those changes to occur. I don't have a lot of faith that the federal government is going to step in and do things like that. And so I agree, this is difficult. But if there's a chance to do it, it's when you have $1 billion on the table. Now, imagine if you don't do it, and it's status quo, and that same doubling rate of increases for coaches, or 300% increases in buyouts over a short period of time, continues with $1 billion on top of the $550 million that comes out of CFP today. And I think you're going to see a nightmare for college athletics if we don't do something about it. So basically my point is, now's the time. It's so much easier to do it when the dollars are new and you can continue to grow sports and continue to make student athletes successful.
And I know you mentioned earlier in your piece about not only presidents, but commissioners, but the commissioner of the league that you were part of for so many years, the Big Ten, played a significant role in not only bringing two schools that do not match Penn State or anyone in that league from a geographical standpoint, but went out and cut the biggest television deal ever that looked like he was following. And I'm talking about Kevin Warren, the outgoing Big Ten commissioner. It looked like he was following an NFL model. And I realize that's getting a little bit off the basic theme here, but how do you rely on somebody who went out and did that to do what you're talking about?
So I think no doubt that market forces and everyone are going to look for that next dime. But I will also point out that when I was president part of the Big Ten group, and we had a significant increase in our media contracts, a group of the presidents sat down and said, this is going up too fast. And we have a lot of programs on campuses that are starving. And so we all agreed, those were programs that were profitable. We all agreed that we would each take $4 million out of that increased media contract and do something difficult to do. Support student mental health. Maybe it's scholarships to promote diversity, even supporting an art museum, things that are difficult to do, so that media contract actually contributed to the academic success of our students and of the institutions. So this is that same opportunity with a much bigger pot of money. And so the question becomes, can the president sit down together and say, this growth is in dollars is inevitable because of the demand and excitement around college support. But we as presidents collectively can make a decision to say we should always be spending more money on college athletes than we are spending on 535 Power Five coaches.
Eric Barron, the former president of Florida State and Penn State, many, many thanks for joining us. It's a fascinating conversation. Would love to continue this some other time and try to see where it all goes. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for yours.
What an amazing conversation from somebody who was at the vanguard of two of the biggest college football programs in America, Florida State and Penn State. We take a short break. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Pro Day tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time. You can see it all right here. And there's a lot of eyes are going to be on what happens on that field concerning the NFL draft. Still about 5 weeks off. And we are back here. Don't forget, 90 minutes away from live coverage from Oxford of Chris Beard's introduction as the new basketball coach. A lot of conversation connected to what will be said by both the administration and him, as well as the questions. We'll have it all for you here. Until then, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Susie is up next in Georgia.
Hi, Paul.
Susie.
How you doing?
We are doing great.
Is that really me in the bracket?
Susie, that is really you. You're facing one of the most disliked callers in the history of the show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope I win then, because that would really hurt my heart.
Susie,
that one of the most disliked.
If I have anything to do with it, you will win.
Let me ask you this. Do you really vote? Do people really vote on Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. And I say I really don't. I'm not involved in this part of it. I mean, I'm around, yeah. And I mainly stay out of it, just so I can deny I knew anything about it. Susie, we will take it's we're not this is not like a vote direct. I mean, we will gauge the reaction, but social media can't be the only determination. Ultimately, there's a committee in the other room, and they'll figure it out.
I'm just glad I'm not up against Legend. Because I love Legend,
well,
and I know
you'd
be.
I mean, again, these things are seated. You'll ultimately probably see Legend, but that's inevitable.
Well, that makes my heart happy today. When I saw the bracket, I just started screaming. I'm like, no, I'm not on the bracket, really. But I wanted a couple comments. I agree with you on Vanderbilt. That just really upset me because, you know, of course they beat Tennessee, my team, or whatever. But, you know, the beginning shouldn't count. How you come back at the end, absolutely. Or at least have a try tonight. You know, I'm anxious to watch the Pitt Mississippi State game tonight. I hope I can stay up long enough to watch
late game.
It before I love to. But do you think Tennessee will make the Sweet 16?
I think Tennessee is certainly capable of it. Yeah, when you look at where they are, and they have a pretty easy first round game, I think, and then it gets really hard. I mean, listen, you don't get to the Sweet 16 without a big win, if you're a lower seed, and Duke is a hot team right now, but just because you win the ACC doesn't mean – I mean, Tennessee's beaten better teams than Duke. CeCe, thank you very, very much. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch, go right ahead.
Well, hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
You put me in that bracket, so I had to call. And you put me up against the one person I probably do have something to say about. John from Louisville, he can make my skin crawl.
Well, we're glad. We certainly all want people that are friends in the bracket.
I mean, he calls and he acts like you have gifted him a 15-minute segment every time. I want to start out by kissing your butt and telling you how wonderful yesterday's interview was. Does he not know that you get reminded of how good your job is whenever you get your paycheck?
That's the deal, huh? I kept wondering because I always say to our guys, does anybody know we're on? We never hear good, bad, but you. By the way, you've just chiseled it down. It's the paycheck.
And then he always has this poll from Fox or from CNN. Oh my God! Did he retire just to read magazines?
Well, I tell you what, I like the sound of this, Mitch.
By the way, your phone call
does matter when you're in the tournament. I mean, that's how we judge you this is a contest about callers. It's not a popularity contest.
But I mean, I've been wanting to say it, but I don't like to.
Well,
really
I'm glad
start
you did.
But good God. Did he retire to just sit at home and wait till 2:50 to call so he could be the second or third caller and tell you how much your interview?
Man, I tell you what. By the way, guys in the control room, you have to give Mitch credit. I mean, he's coming on strong today.
Well, I'm not. It's pent up.
Well,
so, I mean, when I was sick in the hospital. I'd have to listen to him every day. I said, good God. I can't even call, but I got to listen to this man. And I guess that's all I got to say. But if I fought my way into the next round, I'll get beat, but
well,
that's
Mitch,
okay.
I mean, you get the winner of Legend, Chris from Gulf Shore, so save it for then. But right now, I would say you have, as they say in the you've landed the first punch.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
Wow, I think not only that. I mean, guys, I would say Mitch might be the favorite to advance, unless FPI right now has Mitch ahead by about 53-47. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Lena is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, did I get your name right?
You did.
Okay.
You sure did.
Okay.
I just wanted to call, and Legend had a lot to do with it. I mean, not Legend. Jim had a lot to do with it. I've tried to get you before now. I wanted to apologize for my call the other week because I chastised you about hating Alabama. And I shouldn't have done
that's not even
really anything to get mad about.
But it's a volatile issue, and I think a lot of people, I found myself being helped by calls like that because I was never against it. I was just simply trying to facilitate a healthy conversation about what happened.
Well, you got an opinion just like I got one, though, and listen – Jim was not showing Christianity. I'm Christian, and I've worried about that phone call ever since I made it.
Well,
Christians don't act like that, and they don't fly out in anger and start making
terrible
remarks.
Well, Lena, I don't know anything. I mean, we all go through life on a journey. But what I've always felt about religion and Christianity, or any other religion for that matter, is it's not what you say, it's what you do. And that guy can't help but tell us how great a Christian he is, but ultimately it's not for me to decide. But I certainly have opinions based on his behavior.
That's right. And what does it say? You'll know them by their works.
Yeah.
And that didn't show very good works, really.
And, I mean, anyway, I'm going through all my religious books.
To you like that.
Can you help me with this though, Lena? Because I think you sound like a very spiritual woman, but. Is there a chapter anywhere in theology about those who scream out to others that you are the devil incarnate?
Well, you know, I'm sure that's the way the Pharisees were when they were trying to stone the woman to death.
Right.
But they didn't succeed because you see what Jesus told them. If you are without sin, cast the first stone.
Yeah, yeah, that's
now,
what I
the
thought.
Only glory about us is we have somebody to take those sins. We don't stop sinning just because we are Christian.
Exactly.
And Jim, I hope, will think about that tonight. I really do because I love Jim. I mean, I love everybody on your show. I love you, Paul, as a Christian. And, Like I said, I wanted to call you before now because it did upset me. And I wanted to tell you one thing now. I loved wrestling, but I didn't ever get to go, so I wasn't one of those grannies running down to the front. And I love me some Stone Cold now.
Yeah, well, I used to. So I didn't go a lot, but I was fortunate enough to go once or twice in my life, and I just always remember I didn't mean anything by that. Well, Lena, I appreciate
it. I know you did.
Listen,
let me tell you something. A hard act to follow is that Miss Susie. She's a class act, I'm telling you.
She is, and I hope she enjoyed this bracket. Lena, thank you. Lena might just work her way into the bracket the way with that phone call. That was fantastic. We head to the break. We have had a busy one so far. So many great guests. The former president at Penn State joining us a few minutes ago. Brody earlier on LSU. We got some basketball talk in the next hour, and then we go to Oxford in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Skywalker up next here on a busy Tuesday afternoon. Hello, Skywalker.
War Damn Eagle, Dr. Paul.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, my one of my kids, when he was learning to talk, he would call a Slim Jim a Dim Jim. So I'm going to start a petition online that Slim Jim come out with a Jim from Tuscaloosa edition called a Dim Jim. Would you be interested in signing that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
All right, another thing. Can Augie buy Matt from San Antonio a phone so he doesn't have that straight talk $20 phone? All right, that's all I got. War Damn Eagle, Dr. Paul.
Thank you very much. Eddie is in San Antonio. Hello, Eddie.
How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Okay, you know, I've been watching NFL football for more than 50 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, they come up with these, when you're watching a game, and the referee, they stop the clock, and then they review it, and then they say, or they talk to the announcers who are doing the game, and they'll say, that is not reviewable. But they don't ever give a full explanation why it's not reviewable. They got about a half a dozen plays in the NFL like that, but they don't ever give you an explanation. So why does that exist anyway? Because they're telling you that the two teams are not on the same field, the same day, the same stadium, the same Sunday afternoon. So this game doesn't exist because you're telling us that that's not a reviewable play.
Well, but Eddie, I mean, it's really pretty simple. There's X number of things that are reviewable and certain things are not. And that's really what they're trying to say.
Well, then they shouldn't show it repeatedly on instant replay.
Well, but you have to remember the people broadcasting the game are their obligation is to the audience. They're not part of the reviewing team.
No, what I'm talking about, the referees will come back and say, that's not reviewable.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying, but Eddie, I don't know how to answer it any better than I have, but I appreciate very much that you called. How about Elvis up next?
Yes, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I certainly can.
Okay. I just want to first say that that I think that you're a really good person, and I don't watch the show all the time, but I watch it sometimes, and I would actually call you, and being seriously, I would call you iconic.
Thank you.
And I just want to start off saying that. And also, as far as your sports, I heard somebody say maybe 30 minutes or an hour ago something about sports and you playing sports or something. I don't know. Something like that.
Right.
But I can see you doing track.
Well, Elvis, I did enjoy track as a young person. I was not particularly fast, but I could.
My nickname for you, Paul, would be the Blade.
Yeah, I could definitely run middle to long distances okay. I mean, but I used to be a big track fan, though. When I was in college, I lived pretty close to the track, and I would go over there and watch the meets all the time. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Brian is up next in Alabama. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I would just like to, on behalf of the entire Alabama nation, apologize for Jim escaping from the Redstone Arsenal. Apparently, he slipped through the fence, and I'm very sorry. We are tracking him down as we speak.
Yeah, it's sad for those who know Jim well, and which I don't know how many that he does not have. What do you put on dogs to keep track of them? You know, those little. Now, and on their collar, you put a little
tracker pin. Tracker pin.
Jim's guardians probably should do that with him from now on.
Yeah, I certainly agree, and he really makes me ashamed to be from the state of Alabama. But you know, that's what I drew, so that's where I'm at.
Hey, thank you very much. We'll take a break. Jeff Goodman. On college basketball. He'll give us the update on the NCAA tournament next. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.